Well, man, it is great to be back in Wyoming. Every year I love coming up and spending time up here and seeing friends, especially here at Boyd Avenue, seeing friends, because this is our 12th year, 12th summer of doing Summit Camp, and we've seen it grow and seen great God do some really, really cool stuff. I am Jay. I live in the state of Texas. I am not a Texan. I am not arrogant, and I don't believe Texas is the savior of the world, okay? Just going to let you know that really fast, all right? Actually grew up in the state of Georgia, great state of Georgia. Go Bulldogs. That's all I can say. And the Braves. So God loves Texas, but God loves Georgia even more because he let them win both the football championship and the baseball championship this year. So it's good stuff, all right? We took a road trip through Virginia, and we stopped at a few different places. And one of the really cool places that we stopped is at the, it's called the Natural Bridge in Virginia. It's really cool to see. It's this big, I wish I threw a picture up there. It's this big rock that has a big, I don't know y'all have cool stuff out there, but I showed some of the guys this picture and they were like, oh, wow, that's really cool. It's this big old rock that has, it's just a natural bridge. You can walk underneath it. It's got a stream running through it. And to get into the national park there at the natural bridge, you actually drive right across the top of it. And you circle back in to get there. Actually, this natural bridge was surveyed by George Washington, our first president. He even has his initials carved into the limestone rock there. Thomas Jefferson owned it at one point and had a cabin set up there when he was president. And that was his retreat area where he would go while being president to get away from some of the stuff in D.C. But as we were driving down through there, I saw on the sign of a church that had the verse John 3:16 in it. On the sign, and my daughter, my 8-year-old, Balin, she goes, Daddy, that's one of the verses we learned in, I think it was Awana or something like that, that they were in this past spring on Wednesday nights. And I said, oh, that's cool, sweetie. I said, can you say it for me? Just like Stephen was doing up here, you know, can you say it for me? And so this is what she said. I'm going to read it, and hopefully you'll catch what she says. She said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that if you don't believe in him, you will have eternal life. But I wonder if sometimes we fully understand that verse. You know, it's one that we can quote from a young age, one that you learned in Sunday school or Bible school, or your parents taught it to you at a young age. And, you know, we've all said it all our life, but do we really understand what it really means? And so today I want us to take the very first phrase in this verse. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 3, verse 16, if you want to look at it here. But I want to take the very first phrase in this and break it down, then we'll get to the last part of the verse as well. But John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And what I want us to look at today is God has a specific plan for you, and God has a specific plan for me. And when we look at this verse here, and we look at it the correct way, not my daughter's way, but the correct way, we can actually see this plan that he has for us. So first thing I want to look at in this, you know, the first phrase here, for God so loved the world. The first thing I want to look at is God. Did you know today we are at, if you look at the world around us, we are at an all-time low of people believing in God. Back in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, belief of Americans in God hovered around 98% of Americans believed in God. And then you fast forward to 2012 when they did this Gallup polls, did a study. It said that they found in 2012 that it had dropped to 92% of Americans believed in God. Okay, so in about 50 years, we dropped from 98 to 92. Well, just a few weeks ago, Gallup came out with a new poll asking people, do they believe in God? And it's sad to report to you that we have dropped 11 points in the last 10 years down to now only 81% of Americans say they believe in something higher than themselves. Again, it's not necessarily the belief in God, how we know God, but it's a belief in something out there higher than ourselves. 81% of Americans. So we've dropped 11% in the last 10 years. I mean, if you look at politics, you clearly see that there are a lot of people in politics who do not believe in God. A lot of decisions made in our country today, and I'm not going to get political in here because we all may have different beliefs, but I'm not going to get political in here. But if it's clear to see, if you look at the news, you see people not believing in God or making choices that do not reflect God at all. If you looked at the way that people are, I mean, take for instance the whole Roe v. Wade that was just overturned a few weeks ago, my wife being a pro-life ministry, I mean, you see just the belief that people going that is not a baby that's in the womb that God created and fearfully and wonderfully made, people not believing that. And you can clearly see that people do not believe in God. But I'd also say this. Sometimes I wonder if we in the church really believe God. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be arrogant. And you're probably wondering, Jay, so you think there's people in the church who don't believe in God? I would say that we probably wouldn't say it with our mouths, but we definitely scream it with our lifestyles. Did you catch what I said there? I don't think we'd walk out and go, no, I don't believe in God. But I feel like sometimes in the busyness of life, in the things that are going on in our life, situations that we find ourselves in, that we don't reflect God to the world. Brendan Manning, a very famous writer several years ago, wrote this. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. That we as Christians, by the way that we live, cause people to turn away from God, is basically what Brendan Manning said. And church, that is something that we need to come to recognition about. Is our life reflecting God? And it says, for God so loved the world. But do we really understand who God really is and live out our life daily following him? You know, we look at the Bible and we see that God is our provider. But do we really trust him to provide for us, or do we try to go and provide for ourselves? We see that God is our helper and will help us through things, but do we really allow him to help us through things? We see that God is just and that he will fight for things to be right when people have wronged us, but how many times do we try to take retaliation ourselves instead of letting God fight for us, as the Bible says? We see that God is holy and makes no mistakes, but how many times, and he calls us to be holy, do we turn away from him and go and do things that we shouldn't do? Or what about this? We know that God sees all things and knows all things, and yet we live as if he can't see and know all things that we do. And yet we lie to ourselves, believing that God doesn't really know what we're doing. So church, if we want an unbelieving world to know that there is a God, we're going to have to find a way to get back to really understanding and living out who God is for the world to see. We need to allow God to lead us through life. And here's the really cool thing about God. No matter how much we may misunderstand him, or how much we live apart from him and his word, or maybe even how busy sometimes we get in life that we forget that we should be reflecting God to the world, God still loves us. God still loves us. It says, for God so loved. And then this is a love that I don't think we can fully understand. I love my kids most days. Every day. Every day. And no matter how much they mess up, I still love them. But that still doesn't even come close to how much God loves us. I love coffee. If you ask the Summit staff, I buy a certain brand. I'm a coffee snob. Not as much as Caleb, who is playing the keys here. He's a little psycho when it comes to coffee, man. He's like measuring stuff out and got timers and temperature things on to see how hot the water is, and he pours just enough in there. You know what I'm talking about, buddy, don't you? Yeah, you do that mess. A little strange, but I love that he loves coffee like I love coffee. But I don't think we fully understand the word love. I don't even know if we can articulate the word love when it comes to how God loves us. It's a love that's everlasting. It's a love that's sacrificing. It's a love that never changes. And so the verse says that God so loved. God so loved. And I think if we try to even define the word love as it pertains to God, I think we'd have to look in Romans chapter 5 verse 8 when it says this, but God proves his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And yet, he sacrificed his son for us. And that's the definition of love when it comes to God, that he sacrificed something so precious and close to him so that we can experience his love. And that's what he calls us to do. One, to have a full understanding of who God is and live our life following him. But two, to understand his love and to spread it to other people. Because when you look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. So who did God love? The world. God loved the people of the world so much that he wanted to provide a way to restore the broken relationship that had happened from his creation in him at the very beginning of time. Track with me on this real fast. It says in the very beginning in Genesis that God created us in his image. Now, I've been asked many times, I've worked camps so long in my life, I've taught Bible studies with students, and they're like, so we look like God? Not physically, okay? I mean, how disappointing would it be to get to heaven and see that God had a physical body and he looked like Ed, all right? Like, God, I thought you were so much more, man. Now, Ed's a beautiful human being, I promise he is. Just ask his wife. She's the only one that believes it, though. So, anyway. But no, but seriously, it's not a physical body that we were created in the image of God, but we were created in his likeness to reflect him to the earth. We were created. So hold on to this part right here, that we were created in the image of God. But it says that God created Adam and Eve in his image, and that Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned. They disobeyed the guidance that God gave them. And they did their own thing. They went and took the fruit and they ate it. Of course, you know, I find it funny that Adam's like, no, it was her, God. You gave me that woman and she messed everything up. It's her fault, right? That's kind of funny to me. And she's like, oh, it's him. He didn't provide proper guidance. He didn't, you know, he just didn't do the right thing. He didn't show me what to do. And so they started fussing and fighting between themselves. But we see that Adam and Eve brought sin into the world by disobeying God's guidance that he gave them. But God loved human beings and his creation so much that he provided a way for that relationship to be restored. And he did this by sending Jesus Christ to the earth to die for the thing that separated us from God, which was sin. And so when Jesus died on the cross and that sin was defeated and Satan was defeated and sin was forgiven there, we can actually now, through the forgiveness of our sin, be restored to the relationship that God wanted with us from the very beginning. And we were created in the image of God. So if we're created in the image of God to reflect him to the earth, we got to love the world the way that God loves the world. And I don't mean to go out into the world and live like the world, because I'm sure if you thought of the verse, you know, be in the world but not of the world. My fear, though, with the church is this. Is that we get so focused on the be not in the world part. We get so focused on the be not of the world part that we forget to be in the world daily reflecting God's love. You know, Charles and I were talking this week. I finally got to see the brand new building that y'all had built over here. And I'm telling you, it is pretty awesome. And I know he was telling me all about the, you know, the things y'all do in the winter and the upward and the things you do in the summer and all. And it's really amazing. I know. And Boyd does a lot of different stuff to try to reach their community. But here's the deal. There's people in the city of Casper who will never, ever, ever, no matter how many times you invite them to church, no matter how many times you have really, really cool stuff, they're never, ever going to walk through the doors of a church. And God calls us to love the world just like he loves the world. So what does that really mean for us to love the world. It's not to go out and join the world in sin, but it's to go out and reflect as we are walking through life, reflect God's love to the world. I think if we were to look at what is his definition of us for to love the world like God loves the world, if we look at 1 Peter, we can see in 1 Peter 3:15 it says this, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Peter writes this, he says, be ready at all times to reflect God's love to the world. When you're at the grocery store in line, when you're at work, when you're at the ball field and the ref makes the wrong call for your kid's team, reflect God's love to them. That's what we're called to do. I think if you were to go even another example here, if you look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, if you were here last summer when I spoke on the Great Commission about how we are to go. The verse says this, go into all the nations. And when you look at that word go and you break it down, that whole word go is not a one-time going. It's as you are going through life. As you are walking through life, no matter what situation you find yourself in, we at that time are to reflect God's love and message of hope and forgiveness to the world. But to do this, we're going to have to change the way we think. We're going to have to see the world as God sees the world, as people to be loved right where they are. Even in the decisions that they're making, as wrong as they are and against God as they are, doesn't mean we love the sin, but we got to love the person if we're going to reach them. I was reading the other day in the news, it was actually a story about one of the, and I was telling my son about this and he was like, what? In the satanic church, there was a famous satanic pastor in the satanic church who came to know Christ and his forgiveness and actually walked away from satanic church and became a Christian. He said because there was a lady that he saw in the store that he shopped in, and all she ever said to him was, I love you and God loves you, and gave him a hug every time she saw him. And he said, it just hit me one day that this lady knows who I am, knows what I stand for, and that I stand against God, but yet she's willing to tell me this and give me a hug. And he said, I felt the love that she had towards me. And she said, then I began to understand the love that God has for me. Something as simple as that can help others know how much God has a plan for them as well and wants to have a relationship with them. My family and I, as we were traveling, I told you we went to the Natural Bridge and all that, but we were in the car for about 7 hours, and this was actually on July 4th, and so there wasn't many restaurants open late in the afternoon, and as we're driving, we still had about a few more hours to go to get to Washington, D.C., and my kids start screaming from the back seat that they're hungry. And so, you know, again, with not much being open, we're driving, and we see a Cracker Barrel. Now, I used to be a huge fan. Charles and I were telling this years ago. We used to be huge fans of Cracker Barrel, but it's kind of went a little bit down the hill, all right? And so, but I was like, you know what? I'm hungry. They're hungry. We can get out and rest for a little bit. Plus, they have a toy section in there. They can go and distract themselves looking at toys, and I can get a minute just to breathe, you know, from being in the car with them so much. So we stop at this Cracker Barrel, and we walk in, and we get seated immediately. And this, we wait for a few minutes, and finally this lady comes over, whose name was Taylor, and she walked up to our table, and she said, can I take your order? And we said, yeah, we're just going to order, we'll order our drinks now, and let us look at the menu for a minute. And she said, what do you want to drink? And so we all ordered water, because I'm not going to ride another few hours in the car with my kids after having sugary drinks, so I gave them water. I said, you're drinking water. If you want a little flavor, put a little lemon in it, all right? But you're drinking water, because you don't need no more sugar. So the lady took our drink order, and she goes back to the back, and we sat at the table. 20 minutes goes by, and I'm fuming mad, like just straight up angry. Where is this woman? Why is she taking so long? I mean, we just ordered water. She didn't come back and take our order yet. And we got to drive another couple hours. What is this woman doing? You know what? So I'm like furious mad. My wife's like, calm down, chill out. There's nothing else open. We have to eat here. Don't make them mad. I don't want them to spit in our food, all right? I'm like, whatever, babe. So finally the girl comes back, and you can see that she was keeping her head down, and she walked up to the table. She's like, here's your waters, if you'll just pass them around. And I looked at her. As mad as I was, I looked at her, and I see tears streaming down her cheek. And I look at my wife, and I look back at Taylor, the waitress, and I look back at my wife. I was like, all right, don't be mad. Don't be mad. I looked at her and I said, sweetie, are you okay? And she just burst into tears right there at the table. And my wife looks at me and my eyes are like bugged out because I'm like, oh Lord, did she know what I was thinking? Like, what's going on here? Did she hear what I was saying to my wife? And so like, I was really nervous for a minute, and she said, I just had to take a minute. I'm sorry it took so long for me to get your water here. I promise I'll get your order and your food will be out here really fast. Please don't be mad at me. Please, please, please. And I said, sweetie, it's okay. Are you okay? She's like, no, I'm not. I was like, okay, let's give you our order, but come back and see us in a minute, okay? And so she went, she took her order, and she went back in the back, and finally the food did come out pretty fast, and she brought it to the table. And so I said to her, I said, Taylor, I said, here's the deal. We're about to pray for our food. Can we pray for you for whatever's going on in your life? And she just starts crying again. She's like, I'm just going through some hard stuff. And about this time, the manager walks over and goes, I'm so sorry. Taylor's having a rough night. Y'all please forgive me. I said, ma'am, just stop. I said, I don't mean to be rude to you, but we're about to pray. And I'm asking Taylor, can we pray for her? I said, I'm not mad. I was. I'm not anymore. But we want to pray for Taylor. Is that okay? And she said, oh, by all means, please. And so we end up praying, you know, and she told us a little bit of some of the stuff that's going on, but not everything. She's like, I can't tell you everything. She's a college student, and she had some rough stuff going on with her family and all sorts of different stuff. And so we prayed for her, and she came back later on after we finished eating, and the kids, you know, they said, hey, can we go to the restroom, and also can we look at the toy stuff? And it's like, yes, please go look at the toys. So they go back there, and they're looking at the toys, and Taylor comes back to take all the plates off the table. And so I looked at my wife, and I was like, hey, you being the female, I said, talk to Taylor and kind of see what's going on. And I said, just share with her a little bit about Jesus. And so in talking with Taylor, we found out that she is a Christian, but she just needed some encouragement and some prayer and things that are going on. And so we talked with her. We were there for about an hour and a half. What was supposed to be a 30, 40 minute dinner and get back on the road turned into an hour and a half of being able to minister to this girl. And I'm not saying that to brag on ourselves, because I'm telling you, that's like one in a million chances that we do it. Because sometimes, just like everybody else, we get busy and we got things to do and we miss opportunities that God puts in front of us to share his love with others. Because see, God loved the world. And the whole reason why he loved the world and the people of the world is so that they may have a relationship with him through the forgiveness of their sins that Jesus died for on the cross for us. So my question to you today is this. Do you fully, fully understand who God is and live it out every day so that the world may see? Two, do you understand God's love for you? Some of you in here today may say, I don't understand what God's love is for me. I've never experienced the forgiveness of our sins and the love that God has for me. And you can do that today. And three, this, are we sharing the message of God's hope and love as we are going through our life? See, God does have a plan for us. And we can find it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And as Christ followers, God has given us that message to share with the world. God wants us to have a relationship with him and in turn share that message of hope and love with our world. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your love for us. God, I pray for those of us in this room today who sometimes get caught up in the busyness of life and situations of life that we don't reflect who you are to the world. God, I pray that today that you will convict us of that, and God, just help us to make that change by transforming our minds. God, I pray for those in this room who have never experienced your love, have never encountered your love, God, that don't have a relationship with you, that God, that you will call them today to come into a relationship with you, God, that they will understand that you sent Jesus to die for our sins and forgiveness because you love us so much. And God, I pray for those in this room of us today that, God, that we would actually, when we walk out these doors, God, see the world the way that you see it. That we will love the world the way that you love it. And that we will share your message of hope and love and forgiveness with the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Challenged by God's word. And now it's our opportunity to respond. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're broken. Maybe you're here today and you need to lay some things at the feet of Jesus. I invite you today to come and do that. Maybe you're here today and you've been playing the Christian game and you're not really living for the Lord. You're not demonstrating God's love. It's not shown in your actions. Maybe today is a time that you just need to listen to God and say, okay, God, I'm ready to be serious about you. Maybe you're here today and you know someone who needs to hear this message and you haven't shared it. Maybe today is a time to say, okay, God, use me. As we have this time of invitation, I invite you to respond to God. But if God is working in your life, speaking to you, don't leave here ignoring him. Respond to him.